Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 77, 1 to 20, learning to wait for God's help in times of spiritual drought. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 calls believers who face trials to let their trials produce patience in them that God desires to see. Well, Psalm 77 covers a great lesson on the accomplishment of that kind of patience. So we view it for our insight. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer and we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for your grace, your unmerited favor to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word, for the indwelling Holy Spirit, who's one who clarified the word of God to us, who also empowers us to live the Christian life, who also disciplines us if we fail in this regard. We ask, Father, for wisdom as we get into the word of God this morning to understand it and to use it. In the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage in the King James Version, and then we'll switch into the Hebrew text. Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of antiquity, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of thy Lord, of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders or thy miracles of antiquity. I will meditate also on all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders, and thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters, that would be the waters of the Red Sea, saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Okay, the introductory remarks of the psalm comprise the first verse in the Hebrew text, so we stay with the numbering system in the English Bible. See, in the Hebrew Bible, you actually have 21 verses because the introductory marks are actually part of the text. But we're just going to stay with the numbering system that you have in the King James Version. So we translate the psalm as follows. I lift up my voice unto Elohim, that's the name for God as the creator, and I will cry out. I lift up my voice unto Elohim, and he will give ear unto me. In the day of my straits of distress, the straits here are the ideas on narrow straits. You're like you're in a vise and it's closing in on you. I sought Adonai. Adonai is the word for my master. At night I stretched out untiring hands and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered Elohim. Then I groaned. I mused and my spirit grew faint. Selah. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired. Will Adonai reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his loyal love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has Elohim forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Selah. Then I said, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, the right hand refers to the hand of might. And so this is picturing God's miracles that were done by his power. So I'm going to remember the days when God was performing his miracles. And he's going to go back to the time when God was performing his miracles in the Exodus. Verse 11, I will remember the deeds of Yahweh. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider your mighty deeds. Your ways, O Elohim, are holy. What Elohim is so great as our Elohim? You, emphatic pronoun, are the Elohim who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters, that would be the waters of the Red Sea, saw you, O Elohim. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. Apparently another reference to the thunderstorm that occurred at the same time. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows, that would be the lightning, flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not visibly known. You led your people like a flock and with the hand of Moses and Aaron. Okay, there are some significant observations and applications of this psalm that we have. First of all, the psalmist began his psalm with expressions of impatience over the lack of recent divine help in his trials, to where he began to question the faithfulness of God ever to act again in his behalf. It's interesting, in the Psalms you have this brutal honesty, I like to call it, where the psalmist starts off struggling in the life of faith, where he says, where's God? Or is God still around? Does he care? That kind of a thing. And that's what the psalmist starts out with. So this temptation to question God is something that is very old. Man has struggled with. Remember the book of Job, which goes back to the time of Abraham or even precedes Abraham. Job was wondering. He was questioning why. Well, the solution came in recalling that God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt occurred after 400 years of oppression. It's interesting, in Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, you have God remembering Israel and God having compassion on the nation Israel. And let me just get that passage. It's a tremendous passage. Exodus chapter 2, 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect, or God had regard to them. But you'll notice in Exodus chapter 12, when God was taking Israel out in the Exodus, verse 40, it says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So you've got Israel there, the majority of this time, 430 years, has been in bondage and crying out to God, crying out to God. This is generation after generation after generation. This is like before the Red Sox won the World Series. I remember I was watching one of the playoff games, and the announcer said, you know, there are generations of people who were born as Red Sox fans, who lived and who died as Red Sox fans and never saw a moment like this. This is when they were getting ready to win the World Series. And generations. And all of a sudden, boom, here we are. So the Red Sox Nation, of course, the crowd was going bonkers at that particular point. But the same thing happened. Israel was in oppression, 400 years, generations of people. This emphasis is suggested in the reference in verse 15 to God's redeeming the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. God used Jacob's son Joseph to save Jacob's family from famine in Genesis 45 to 4 verses 4 to 7. And then God saved Jacob's and Joseph's seed in Israel by Moses and Aaron 400 years later. So you've got this huge stretch of time, and there's an enormous amount of suffering that occurs between them. But God came through. God's raw power to part the ravaging Red Sea and to bring a great storm on Israel's pursuers, probably the most powerful chariot army in the world at that time, the Egyptians that God was going after, while still leading Israel as his vulnerable sheep like a gentle shepherd through the seabed, reveals God's vast abilities to minister on behalf of his people. And that after 400 years of divine silence. It's amazing. You have this picture of the Red Sea crossing. Israel never had to pull a sword to fight. And the men, the women, the children, the little ducks, you know, the geese, the donkeys and everything that they're taking with them, they're going through this very vulnerable group of people. They're going through the seabed like that. God's taking them through. And yet, on the Egyptians who come after them, he just unleashes his raw power and crushes them. And the tremendous versatility between taking care of these very vulnerable people, getting them through, and the other hand, crushing this powerful army, demonstrates the tremendous versatility of God. And it also demonstrates his motive. He wants to salvage his people and protect his people and gently lead his people. See, God led his people very gently with Aaron and Moses, but he was really rough with the Egyptians. So, God is able. The question is not whether God is able. We just don't know when. See, that's why we have to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Many verses in the Psalms that talk about wait on the Lord, wait patiently for the Lord, and he will incline his ear and he will come to your aid. That's what we need to do, is wait on the Lord. So, regardless how long it takes, God always eventually delivers his people with great power, yet and sensitivity, as they look to him in faith. Thus, believers must never give up on God, but learn to wait patiently for him to act. So an application, if we think God may never help us, may we recall his great rescue of Israel from long-term bondage. When I was a little boy, my parents went to Africa one time. Dad was taking a dump truck with him. This is one of the first dump trucks they had there in Nigeria, to cut down on the labor, because they used to have to load stone and everything on by hand, and then they have to take it off by hand. And Dad was showing pictures of this back in the States, and they said, you need a dump truck. It'll cut your time in half. So they went out and they bought a dump truck for him, great big Chevy dump truck. And so we were going on a board ship. So we went on, the name of the ship was Sangar. We left New York Harbor, and we sailed all the way to Sierra Leone and then around the Horn of Africa down to Nigeria. But when we sailed to Sierra Leone, we stopped in Freetown, which is the capital there. And Mom and Dad wanted to visit with some missionaries there in Sierra Leone, so they left the ship. And the captain said, well, you better get back by such and such a time, because whether you're back or not, I have a schedule to keep. So I'm cranking the ramp up at such and such a time. But we got out there, and all of a sudden, we had to stop because the prime minister of Sierra Leone was coming by, so they stopped the traffic, and we never did get to where we wanted to go. We waited for a half hour, and I remember I myself became a nervous wreck, because I said to Mom and Dad, what's going to happen if we miss the ship? They said, well, we'll just have to figure out something else. And I remember I was so bothered by that. Well, eventually, this prime minister guy came by, and then we turned around, and the missionary hurried us and got us back. And as we drove into the yard there, or the dock area, they were starting to crank up, all right, the gangplank. And so Dad grabbed my youngest brother and took off on a dead run. And Mom grabbed my other brother. No, Dad grabbed my second oldest brother. And then Mom grabbed Steve. Steve was a little baby at the time, but I had to make it on my own. And Mom and Dad took off. And I happened to outrun Mom, but not Dad. And Dad made it to the plank, and so they decided to lower the plank. The plank was up about 3 feet, and then they lowered it. So we just got back on, and they cranked the plank up, and I was breathless. This is before I knew the Lord is my Savior. And the fact that we almost missed our ship bothered me intensely. It's the kind of thing you'd have nightmares over. I was 4 years of age at the time. But it's interesting that the Lord in his grace saw fit that we were able to make it back. And that was one thing that the Lord showed me. I didn't have patience. I didn't have anything within. And that was one of the convicting works over a long period of time that he used to lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found out just because your parents are missionaries doesn't mean you're saved, you're going to heaven. God doesn't have grandchildren. You have to accept the Lord yourself. But that type of experience is often the experience that we have as Christians. We get into a situation, we get frustrated, we wonder, where's God? And often he comes through just in the nick of time. And he does that sometimes. He just holds up because he's looking for faith. And he's looking for faith over a process of time. So if we face various trials, like James says, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we have to count it. And this is what James says, and this irritates us every time we read it. Count it all joy. And we're saying, yeah, right. But count it all joy, or sheer joy, when you fall into divers tests. My brethren, count it all joy, or sheer joy, when you fall into divers tests or temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her complete work, that you may be perfect. That would be mature and entire, lacking nothing. So, okay, we'll open it up to you for questions or feedback that you have.